Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
You know, Jake, among those Mariners roster moves, that being Jared Kelnick being sent down, Adrian Sampson was one of them. I forgot to mention Adrian Sampson, former starting quarterback for Skyline Football. I didn't have that in my notes. I meant to.
Freshman year. Once I broke again, my leg.
Former starting quarterback.
Adrian took over for me as the backup, and he did really well.
I think he did really well. Honestly, and sometimes I wonder what the show would sound like with Adrian.
It made me nervous. It made me very nervous. And luckily, from that point forward, Adrian focused on baseball, which allowed me to spread my wings.
What if we could have had the Tony Romo of Skyline on this show? Stacy and Adrian.
I mean, what could
Adrian and Stacy?
What could have
Adrian
been?
Adrian and Stacy show.
What could have been,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, speaking of quarterbacks, Jake, you've talked about how the success of the 2022 season will not be determined by wins and losses. I want to move that conversation forward, but in the context of, think of like a dating show. You know, in the 70s and 80s when you and I were certainly alive, they had dating shows where it would be like behind door number one, and they would like pitch, you know, like who it's going to be, like, yo, this bachelorette enjoys long walks on the beach and blah, blah, blah. And then this person would choose that actually. So I wanted to do, we know what's behind door one and two for the Seahawks quarterback situation. We know it's Geno Smith and Drew Lock. Okay. I don't know in what order. I'm guessing Geno first team reps, but these two are the two favorites to be the starting quarterback for the Seahawks. I think it'll be Geno. You think it'll be Drew. Either way, I would not be surprised by either of those possibilities happening. But I want to talk about door number three. What's behind door number three at quarterback for the Seahawks? Because I know that some people are thinking, Stacy, the answer is Jacob Eason. But I know that he's an option. But I want to talk about, you know, some options that may not be here right now that you have to use your imagination with a little bit. So behind door number three, for instance, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield. Is door number three. And I would say that door number three is, okay, what are the other options for 2022? And Baker Mayfield potentially being cut is one of those options. And I believe that it is an option that is very, very much on the table for them. Okay? This is something that I don't think is far-fetched. I don't think this is a media creation whatsoever. No one in the NFL wants to trade for Baker Mayfield. Mm-mm. Period. End of story. Okay? The Carolina Panthers may be the one team out there that might be nervous enough to where they're like, hey, our quarterback situation, we're going through OTAs and we're going through training camp, and Sam Darnold nor Matt Corral are taking the steps forward that we want to see and feel comfortable with, where we got to have somebody perform or else we're going to lose our jobs, right? Like that's kind of where Matt Rhule, that's the position that he's in. So maybe Carolina gets in that position. I kind of think that that's what Cleveland is holding out for. But if they feel comfortable with their situation, they hold pat and they're saying, no, we're not going to trade with the Cleveland Browns, then the Cleveland Browns are going to be in a position where they're just going to have to flat out cut Baker Mayfield. There's no room on their roster, Stacy. No room. And even when you say Deshaun Watson, look, Deshaun Watson, he may or may not play this year. That's still up in the air. You may be right. But Baker Mayfield is not at the team facility right now. I don't even know if Baker Mayfield is even really looking at the playbook right now. I have no idea what he's doing or if he's even in the mindset that he's even worried about what's going on with Cleveland, that he's just ready and preparing and working out and just trying to keep himself in shape to where, hey, I'm waiting for my new opportunity, my next home. And what they clearly did as well is they got themselves insurance for the Deshaun Watson situation by going out and signing Jacoby Brissett. You don't go and sign Jacoby Brissett just because he's a mentor. No, you go and sign him because you know that there's a chance that Deshaun Watson may or may not be playing, and you want a team-friendly locker room guy that can hold down the fort while, you know, it could be through the season, could be through half the season. You just don't know, but he is a solid backup that could be in that situation. So ultimately, I think that that's really what they're looking at, and the Seattle Seahawks are going to wait that process out. And the moment that Baker Mayfield is cut, they will take that opportunity and jump on it. I fully believe that.
Also behind door number three, keep in mind, by the way, this is going to sound insane. I'm going to say this option and you guys are going to think you're an idiot. This is not going to happen. But it's a fake dating show with quarterbacks. I can make this happen. Keep in mind the weapons you have if you're the Seattle Seahawks. You have 2 first-rounders and 2 second-rounders in 2023. So you could go get your quarterback of the future, right? I'll get to that behind door number three. We'll put C.J. Stroud or something in there. But right now behind door number three, Lamar Jackson.
Oh, so you're going to go right to it. Okay.
I'm going right to it. Behind door number three, Lamar Jackson.
Right. Now, people may hear this and they might laugh and they might scoff.
I promise you they are.
Okay. Hear us out. Now, if you're talking about door number three being the fact that the Seahawks are looking at 2023 to find their future and their long-term answer, Lamar Jackson's situation with the Ravens is shaky right now.
And no extension.
No extension.
Not a lot of weapons.
Not a lot of weapons. His best friend left and wanted to leave the Ravens because he did not want to be a part of a run-first, heavy-oriented system. And Lamar Jackson wants to improve himself. He wants to prove himself as a passer in this league. He just doesn't want to be labeled as an athlete. That is very clear. And so I believe Lamar Jackson is a very loyal guy. He is somebody that has said over and over again how he wants to be with the Baltimore Ravens. But if you're negotiating your own deal, first and foremost, that can get complicated. Secondly, if this season does not go well offensively for Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, you could see very easily how Lamar Jackson could be the next quarterback that is available on the trading block. And with 2 firsts and 2 seconds, the Seattle Seahawks sit in pretty good position to have the firepower to be able to pull off a trade for Lamar Jackson. And I think that that would be something that everyone should be very, very interested in here in Seattle if that became a possibility, rather than getting into the quarterback draft and wondering if any of these guys are really truly the answer and not having to worry about a bust. You could be looking at getting somebody that as dynamic as Lamar Jackson in the building. That would be a have to see it pan out type of deal, but certainly a possibility that would be highly, highly intriguing.
All right. It's a very expensive possibility. You have to give him an extension. You have to give up some high round picks, some day one picks. So maybe it's too rich for your blood. Maybe you're like, you know what? I appreciate that behind door number three, but let's go ahead and shut that. What's behind a different door number three? So our third door behind door number three at quarterback for the Seahawks in 2022. In 2022, behind door number three.
425 said, Stacey, you're Oh, I like Lamar Jackson.
Behind door number three, if Lamar Jackson, if giving up those first rounders a little too rich for your blood, maybe it's a fourth rounder. Maybe it's a fifth rounder because behind door number three this time, Gardner Minshew.
No, thank you.
You trade away a fifth rounder, a fourth rounder, well, day 3 pick, and you get in someone who's going to make the competition interesting, likable guy, got a great arm, pretty accurate, Gardner Minshew.
It would be fun. It would be fun, and I honestly think Minshew would be a great one-year stopgap guy. I honestly really do. I would love that, but I don't think the Seattle Seahawks are even considering that right now. And they've made it very clear that that is not in the cards for them. They don't want to go down that route, that they are all in. If Baker Mayfield is not going to be a part of this competition, it will come down to Drew Lock, Geno Smith, or Jacob Eason. That is very clear cut. I can't say that enough. I'm sorry for everybody out there that would love some Minshew mania. It will not be the case. But realistically, if you're going to door number three and you're looking at 2023, I do very much view the Lamar Jackson situation as something to keep an eye on and to keep tabs on, very much so. But the other situation is that you go ahead and use this draft capital and you draft a guy of the future, right, in the 2023 draft. And there are some really intriguing names that stand out to me that I really like, okay? I'm going to give you my top four as of right now, and I reserve the right to change this.
Absolutely
okay?
Not.
I reserve the right to change this as the season progresses, okay? But I'm going to give you Will Levis is my number one guy from the University of Kentucky. I think he will be the number one pick. He's got the size, the measurables, and he has played in a pro-style system, with Kentucky. And I believe that he is the guy that can transfer to the NFL the best, the quickest, and I think it would be a slam dunk for the Seattle Seahawks to get Will Levis in this draft. Then I would go to C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. I'm not as overly optimistic about both of those guys. They concern me for different reasons, but I love their skill set and the tools that they have. I just wonder, and I'm worried about how it transitions to the NFL game. Okay. And again, I reserve the right to change that over time through the season.
Once again, okay? Absolutely not. No, we're holding you to
But this. The other guy that I really, really like, and I said this before about a BYU quarterback, and he became the second overall pick in the draft. That was Zach Wilson a couple years ago. But I'll tell you, there's another BYU quarterback that when you're talking about the skill set of what people have loved about Russell Wilson and what Pete Carroll has loved about him and his game, I'm going to give you a name out of BYU, Jaren Hall. Jaren Hall out of BYU is another name to really keep an eye on. For 2023, if he has another strong year, if he builds upon what he did a season ago in his first year as being the full-time starter, this kid will be a first-round pick. He will be somebody that I think the Seattle Seahawks should definitely zero in on. He's athletic. He's a dynamic playmaker. Great leadership qualities about him. He can make a ton of throws. He's just got to grow as a passer, and he's going to have this year to have that opportunity to really prove himself in that regard. But I think Jaren Hall is absolutely a name that you should keep an eye on and that you should remember, because you'll probably see a good amount of games of his, and he's another guy that Will Levis and Jaren Hall, to me, are the two guys that I'm the most intrigued by in this draft.
Jake, I understand the quarterback class in 2023 is phenomenal,
mm-hmm.
and I understand that a smart move would be to get your quarterback in that class. However,
where are you going with this?
2023 is so far away, Jake. It's so far away. We're talking multiple months,
yeah.
more than two. More than three, even.
Okay, what's your point?
Well, what I'm saying is, behind door number three already, right now, is another quarterback. Behind door number three for 2022, where you don't have to wait anymore. You can win now.
Uh-huh.
You can win big now. Because behind door number three, Jake, you don't have to give up anything in a trade. He's a free agent. It is Nick Foles. Bear down. Nick Foles behind door number three. And who'd he bring with him? Fellow free agent quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick. What do you think of those two behind door number three, Jake?
Stacey, why do you do this? Why did Curtis text you?
No,
did Curtis text
not.
You to do this?
He did not.
Look, Nick Foles, is the most accomplished quarterback outside of Ryan Fitzpatrick
in the league.
That is out there in free agency, and also would be the most accomplished quarterback that would join this roster if you were to sign him. I honestly would not be mad if the Seattle Seahawks went out and signed Nick Foles to add to this competition. They will not. They won't. But I would be very happy if they did, if this is the two that they decide to roll with and Drew Lock and Geno Smith. I think that Nick Foles is a quarterback that would be way more stable and put you in better positions than right now the volatility of Geno Smith and Drew Lock. Geno Smith is somebody that you're familiar with, has been in your building, and that's why you decided to sign him back. And Drew Lock obviously is the upside guy here, right? And Jacob Eason for that matter too. So I just think that Nick Foles is not something to laugh at given your quarterback situation right now, but it's not something that they want nothing to do with that, because I think they're really banking on Drew Lock taking over as the starter and taking advantage of the opportunity that he is being given to him. And I really think that they are hoping that Drew Lock is the week one starter here.
Behind door number three, Jake, in 2022.
Man,
because the people have asked about it.
How do you fit all this stuff behind door number three?
There's a lot of, well, this person's a small person, Jake, so there's some extra room that we had here, because behind door number three, standing 5'9", allegedly, Kyler Murray.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Look, could Kyler Murray be traded next year? Possibly. If things go south and they don't finish right again at the end of the year, yeah, there's going to be a lot of dysfunction. There's going to be a lot of drama and a lot of conversation surrounding all of that. But I'm telling you right now, Stacey, the Arizona Cardinals are not dumb enough to trade Kyler Murray to their division opponent. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. Nice try. fun conversation, no way, no how.
All right. I mean, if that's what you think, then how about within your division, there could be
someone
else.
No, it's what
else.
I know.
How about within your division, there could be someone else that isn't going to be a starter. They're going to have to move on. Behind door number three, our last behind door number three before we move on, the perfectly symmetrical Jimmy G.
No. No, they're not going to bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. Right. There's too much opportunity for upside in 2023. Right now, you've already got your veterans. You've already got your veteran upside guy in Drew Lock. They're locked in. And really, to me, door number three, here's the two options that I see in front of us.
Quickly.
Okay, door number three quickly. It is either Baker Mayfield gets cut and you sign him in 2022 and he helps your club this year and you evaluate him this year. Or you set your eyes to 2023. Maybe everything falls apart for the Baltimore Ravens. There's a lot of drama that happens. And the Seattle Seahawks, with next year having two firsts and two seconds, they can get in on that party and they could trade for one of the young dynamic quarterbacks in this league in Lamar Jackson. Or they go via the draft and you've got a really good crop of young quarterbacks to diagnose, to look through, and to figure out which one is going to be your future. And as of right now, again, I reserve the right to change my opinion as the season goes on.
I don't know why you think
but my
that.
Two most intriguing guys are Will Levis out of Kentucky and Jaren Hall out of BYU, with obviously Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud being in the conversation.
All right.
But it's exciting to see what door number three holds potentially for the Seahawks.
A lot of people behind door number three, I will say. We had a lot of people in there, but let's get
how
to
could you not?
Four down territory here.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with quarterback guru Jake Heaps.
Jake Heaps played in the NFL, played quarterback, was in the room with him, was in the fire. He's really a guru. He really played the game.
First down.
Hold on, Stacey. Yes. I have to.
You have breaking news.
I do have breaking news. Now, I want to see this confirmed by one or two more sources, but Jordan Schultz right now is reporting that Jarvis Landry is signing with the New Orleans Saints. So if that is indeed true, you added Chris Olave in the draft, your first round pick. Michael Thomas is supposedly going to get healthier, and there's a great chance that he plays. Now you add Jarvis Landry to your receiving core. Man, the New Orleans Saints are quickly becoming a team. We had this conversation in NFL headlines about what team in the AFC South.
You did not just interrupt Four Down Territory to tell me about Jarvis Landry.
I did. Absolutely, I did. Because this is big news. I mean, you talk about the NFC. This is an NFC opponent that the Seahawks are going to face during the season. And you look at that schedule and you're like, well, maybe they could beat the Saints. Well, I mean, it just got that much more difficult to be able to pull that off if Jarvis Landry is joining the New Orleans Saints.
Breaking news. I'm hearing Ryan Fitzpatrick could be signing with the Bills.
Stop, stop, stop.
First down, Carolyn Wilson will face off in week one. Who holds the advantage?
Who holds the advantage? I honestly am not sure. I'm with Michael Bumpus on this one. You could go back and forth every single day or every minute as to who holds an advantage. But I'll go to cut number one. Bucky Brooks does bring up an excellent point about the knowledge that this Seahawks coaching staff has on Russell Wilson.
I think Pete Carroll is going to put all of that stuff out there because cover two gave him problems. They couldn't throw in rhythm. And so we're going to see all of that stuff. And with a new team, you talk about the transition that he has to make in Denver. Oh, yeah, I think Pete Carroll is waiting for this.
Oh, man, I think that when you're talking about, is he excited for the opportunity to face Russell Wilson? Absolutely he is. But I also know that Pete Carroll recognizes how difficult it is to go up against somebody like Russell Wilson. He's, you know, watched him, paid him a bunch of money over 10 years and enjoyed a lot of winning together. However, you look at, you know, over those 10 years, Pete Carroll knows intimately what Russell Wilson has struggled with in the past, what type of defensive schemes he's struggled with, and what coverages he's struggled with, and is there an opportunity for them to try and make things as difficult as possible for Russell Wilson and challenge him throughout the game to have to, you know, make throws that he is uncomfortable doing. If there's one team that can make that happen, at least challenge him or know what to challenge him with, it is going to be this coaching staff here in Seattle. And that's definitely a storyline that I am very excited to watch play out on the field.
Second down. According to Cliff Averill, who's going to have to carry the most weight to help the Seahawks win in 2022?
Well, Cliff Averill was very, very blunt about it here at cut number four, talking about the run game and the defense and explained why.
The running game is going to be important regardless of what quarterback that we have behind that center, right? We have to establish that running game regardless. And then everything else will play off of the type of quarterback that we have. And then our defense just has to be elite. As the offense figures out how they're going to be or what they're going to be, that defense has to come out and play some really good ball early and often to allow that offense to figure out what they're going to do.
Cliff said, he just stated the same thing that I've been saying for quite some time, that they've got to have an elite running game. But I want you to notice the emphasis that he put on what the defense has to do, because to me, this is also, I would say it's the biggest key to this season, is that the defense has to be elite. The defense has to be elite, and they have to start fast. Stacey, what has this defense struggled to do over the last couple seasons? They have struggled to start fast.
I was going to say, have been, a couple choices.
They have been one of the turnovers,
get off the field on third down, not give up a ton of passing yards.
Okay, Stacey, that's enough.
Defensive ends into coverage.
Stacey.
The list goes on.
It does, okay? But the point being is that they have struggled to start fast the last 2 years. They have been one of the worst defenses in the first half of the season, in back-to-back years. That has to change. They have to come out of the gate swinging. They have to come out of the gate firing on all cylinders. They have to play together. They have to have their identity put together and to be able to challenge teams and keep the Seahawks in these games. If they can't do that, oh boy, that's going to be a really tough start to the season, and it'll really shape up how the rest of the season is going to go. But I agree 100% with Cliff Averill. They have to have a running game, and they have to have an elite defense to be able to carry the situation that is going on with their quarterbacks, whatever it becomes in 2022.
All right, unlike the Seahawks offense last year and the year prior, we successfully converted before third down. So we are going to go ahead in advance to look ahead for the Mariners. I've got your lineup for today's game against the Mets. We've got a little baby preview, and also we're going to once again go over those big roster moves from earlier today. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Jake and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, some breaking news from the Mariners earlier in the show. Most of you have seen it now, but in case you haven't, you're just getting in your car and you're like, what's everyone talking about? Jared Kelenic has been sent down to AAA Tacoma. In a corresponding move, Steve Souza Jr. has been called up. Also, a couple other moves, but the biggest of the remaining moves is that Sergio Romo, reliever, is back with the team after a 10-day IL stint.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jake, we've been talking about kind of the reaction to this, and I think that the long-term reaction is that there are some people that are reacting to it from a long-term fear point of view, and I understand that, and I don't blame them. There are people that are like, look, Kelenic's a bust, okay? Like, I've seen enough from this guy. This isn't who we thought he would be. The ceiling's lower than we thought he would be. Send him down, fine. But, like, my expectations have changed. I'm seeing that reaction, so I know that reaction exists.
Mm-hmm.
I also, though, think that there's plenty of reason to still be really optimistic about a very young player. So I'll start by saying this. Jerry DePoto was on with Mike Salk, and he talked about what he's seen from Jared Kelenic's bat, just specifically when he is at the plate, what he sees from Jared Kelenic right here. Oh, do we have a... Yep, there we go.
You know, he's not doing it with the bat. He knows he's not doing it with the bat, and it's been a real struggle for him. He is finding other ways to contribute to our success, and you know, and hopefully we get the bat going, because it's it at the end of the day, that's the that's the big thing, and it's always been a big thing for JK, and it's going to be a big thing again. It's just it might take a little time to get there.
So again, it's always going to be a big thing. It might take a little time to get there, and the Mariners don't see sending anyone down to the minors as punitive. It's all about development. So this is still a guy that the organization clearly believes in. They've been really impressed with his defense this year, which has improved from last year.
Right.
You're just waiting for that to catch up. You're waiting to see him continue to develop. We had Brandon earlier in today talk about what he's seeing. We've had Mike Blowers talk about what he's seeing. Jake, I mean, what are you seeing?
Well, I mean, going off of what Brandon said, Brandon Gustafson, who was on with us at the 11 o'clock hour. If you missed it, go download the Jake and Stacey podcast. It's hour two where we had Brandon on, and we discussed a number of different Mariner topics, but Jared Kelenic was one of them. And, you know, right off the bat, he said, look, Jared Kelenic last year to finish the season was a top 15, top 20 hitter in all of baseball. Genuinely was. And you were hoping to see that growth continue to start the season, and it did not. Actually, you ended up seeing a regression in his approach, especially when it came to off-speed pitches. And Mike Blowers talked about the fact that, look, Jared Kelnick right now is sitting and hunting fastballs. He is not adjusting and trying to hit breaking balls. And you're going to continue to keep getting challenged with breaking balls until you prove that you can handle it at this level. Why would good pitching attack you any differently? And so I think that what Jared Kelnick has unfortunately done is his approach is off. He is, gripping the bat, waiting for that fastball, no matter where it's located, in the strike zone or out of the strike zone, and is just not having that mature approach at the plate that you would love to see from him and you were hoping that you would see going into this following season. So right now, I believe that this was the best move by the Mariners. And emotionally, you would have loved to have seen Jared Kelnick to be able to go back to the Mets on the anniversary of when he was traded to the Seattle Mariners. But the right thing to do is to make sure that Jared Kelnick doesn't get overwhelmed by some of the best starting pitching in all of baseball that he would have faced with the Mets and the Toronto Blue Jays and the Boston Red Sox. Like, you've got to do your player a solid. And as Jerry DePoto has described before, throw out a life preserver for your players to, recoup, hit that reset button, to work on the areas in their game at the plate that they need to work on. And for Jared Kelnick, he needs time. He just does. He needs time at this point to really work out some of those kinks, work out some of those issues, and to regain his confidence again.
I think that also seeing Julio's development has added different context, and I don't think it's fair to compare the two players, who are not just two different players, but two different people, different mindsets, and different ways of handling stress and pressure and expectations. But watching Julio continue to improve and continue to develop, he still looks like a rookie many a time this season, but I think that it adds context for a development with Kelnick that is fair to expect to have seen already. If that makes sense. Watching the way that some other young players have developed, there have been superstars that came on late and that had slow learning curves, and that's okay. It doesn't end your career, but it is a slower one.
Yes.
And it feels like that's kind of been validated.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I gave the comparison talking about J.P. Crawford, right? J.P. Crawford was a top prospect. He was somebody that...
Yeah, the Phillies thought he was a bust.
Yeah, exactly. And he comes here to Seattle and he finds himself, right? And I'm not saying that Jared Kelnick's going to go... He's not going to realize it here in Seattle and he's going to go to some other organization. My point is that for some players, it takes time. It does. And it's not an excuse for saying that, oh man, you shouldn't be worried. But what I'm saying is you've got to let that process breathe. And for him, he needs the opportunity to reset, to get more time at the minor league level. There was so much pressure that he put on himself to fast track his way through the minors. And I think that it showed that, does he have talent? Yes, he's shown that in spurts. But he needs more time to develop and mature his approach and be just comfortable with himself and let that play out at the major league level.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I felt that part of your answer was an answer to this question. So you're probably going to repeat some of it, but I like the question a lot. From the 209, what's he going to learn, what's Jared going to learn dominating AAA pitching? The issue is he can't hit big league pitching. And while you're right, Jake, I think the answer to that question is in the answer you just gave, which is why I was butting in. But do you want to expound on it just a little bit?
Yeah, I believe that it's about confidence. It's about hitting the ball again. It's about, understanding your approach and how you want to approach the plate and really, really dominating that and understanding this is who I am and this is what I need to be. And working on, Mike Blauer's talking about the off-speed stuff, really working and honing in on that stuff instead of just hunting for fastballs and knowing that you can be a great fastball hitter. Well, guess what? You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. What Julio has done a really good job of up to this point is, one, being really... really, really disciplined at the plate with the strike zone, number one. Number two, he has adjusted to hitting fastballs. He's adjusted to hitting off-speed stuff, which has allowed him to get more fastballs. If you're showing that you can handle off-speed pitches and are willing to sit back on them and willing to hit them and willing to recognize when they're in and out of the zone, then pitchers just can't, you know, just can't
rely
stuff and rely the you know, attacking you with off-speed stuff. And that's something that Jared has just not adapted to up to this point. And so I think that that is really important for him to get that experience in order to come back. And sometimes, yeah, you just need to be able to dominate at a certain level to be able to get yourself back to the talent that you know you possess. And I'll just tell you this, the last time it happened, you know, Jared Kelnick, it didn't immediately transition into success. He was brought back down to the team in July, and, you know, a month later, he's one of the better hitters in baseball to finish out the season. So that though, that time spent in the minors can be valuable.
Some quick listener reaction. Also from the 209, he's going to get a ton of fastballs in AAA. I think a big factor is showing your roster you're in it to win it. You can't leave Kelnick up and say that. The 469 said, you're right, Jake. It does take time, but the Mariners don't have time. 253 saying J.K. needs a ton of at-bats in the minors. He never had that. Don't forget that 2020 minor league season also threw off a lot of these young prospects. So 253, you are right there. I think that
I disagree with the 469 here. I really disagree. It is not saying that you need to give up on Jared Kelnick. You have time to let Jared Kelnick develop. It just means that you can't hold out for Jared Kelnick. You can't hold out for Jared Kelnick and not upgrade your team just simply based off of Jared Kelnick. You have to, you know, be competitive, find the best opportunities to improve your team, but there is absolutely time to let Jared Kelnick develop.
There's absolutely time, and not only that, but the fact that Jared Kelnick needs more time to develop isn't necessarily a fault of Kelnick. It's a fault of a gamble that you made planning on a big part of your success and breaking your postseason drought being continued development of your young players, despite the fact that you saw that young player,
correct,
in this case Kelnick, struggle last year. So part of the gamble Seattle made, and there were people that turned them down, right? It wasn't for lack of trying to add big names in free agency, but part of the gamble Seattle made is, yeah, we're going to have contributors here. We're going to have Mitch. We're going to have Ty. We're going to have JP, all great guys. But that also depends on Mitch staying healthy, which he is not. That depends on, even with your rotation, that depends on Chris Flexen still being having a fantastic year, which has been up and down. He hasn't had a ton of run support. It also importantly depends on Julio and Jared and your young guys being great and being important, underline, bold, contributors. Julio's been able to do that of late. Kelnick has done it at times, but it's been very inconsistent. And right now he's struggling, and he's being sent down to develop that more. So, again, it's almost like a you don't mind the gamble because you love the prospects they have. We've heard Jeff Passan, one of the foremost experts on baseball, who is really high on the Mariners. If I was buying stock in a team over the next 3 years, it would be the Mariners. He said that. That being said, the gamble you made, the bet you made on yourself, is we're going to get some development from those guys this year.
Correct.
And so far, you're not quite seeing it. But again, this story going to be covered plenty by Wyman and Bob. And you have a 3 p.m. pregame show. They're going to touch on it there, I'm sure. So lots of Mariners coming your way. We're going to wrap things up with This or That. That's next.
Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle's Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
It's This or That, brought to you by Allred Heating, Cooling, Electric. I will tell you two choices, and you tell me which one. Pretty easy. So This or That. Who would you rather face right now? I said two choices. I lied. You have three. The Mets, who you are facing, is the Mariners. Dodgers, who are dominating. Or the Astros, who have dominated you.
Who I'd rather face? The Astros.
Yeah,
I would rather face the Astros. The Mets and the Dodgers, I mean, my gosh, they are really good teams. The Mariners, for whatever reason, last year had really good success against the Dodgers to start the year, which was really funny. But I, out of all these teams, I would rather face the Houston Astros. It's not even close.
This or That, dessert edition, pie or cake? This isn't even close.
Really?
No, it's not. The answer's pie.
Really?
Cake is overrated, one of the most overrated desserts on the planet. Paul, you look like you're questioning that right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big cake guy.
I'm not going to say no to cake.
That's true, but it's like there's so many more cakes that I love more than pie. Like at the end of the day, if I want pie, it's coming down to I really just want apple pie, whereas cake, there's like I want the red velvet, the chocolate, the yellow sponge. I mean, you watch Great British Bake Off and you want the cakes more than you want the pies, in my that I've seen on that show, at least.
Paul is making great case after great case after great case after great case.
No, he actually listed the worst pie.
I would say that I...
Apple pie, the worst pie?
Apple
yeah, get out of here.
Oh, no.
Hey, Paul, something you... I'm sorry. We did not preface this before we started this. Stacey has the worst food takes of all time.
That's incorrect. Okay.
So I forgot to tell you this before we started.
False
and
information.
You just got hit just with a shock to the system. So
right.
I'm sorry I did not warn you. But yeah, Stacey's got the worst food takes ever. I agree with Paul on this. It is cake. And but both of them, I think that it's very easy to do them wrong. You can overdo them and it's all wrong. Cake, it has to be moist.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have the right frosting ratio.
Dry cake.
Okay, but okay. Well, then I could sit there and say, well, the worst version of pie. That's a horrible way to judge a dessert. You think about it in its peak form.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to go peak form. But I would like I would take the worst piece of apple pie over the worst cake. I think I would take that.
I would go the opposite.
I would agree.
The worst cake would make me so thirsty. I also think that pie, in its essence, is moist. And a lot of flavor, whereas cake can get dry pretty quickly.
Yeah. I agree.
All right. This or that. Really dove into that one. That one got the text line going, too. Here we think we're all sports fans. Meanwhile, all of us are like, listen, here's where you're wrong. Number one seed edition, this or that, Suns or Heat?
I'm going to take the Suns, okay? So you picked these based off of number one seeds, correct, in the NBA?
Yep.
I'm going to take the Suns, and I think that the Suns are firmly... in the lead when it comes to the Western Conference. They're just a really good team. They're gelling right now. I really like the Suns. They got there last year and they fell short. So I just feel like this is a group that just is on a mission to complete the mission. Whereas the Heat, the one thing that scares me about the Heat, I like them as a team. It's a fun team, and you got to love Jimmy Butler. I mean, he is the villain that everybody loves, but I just think that they're... as a collection of a team, they really, really rely on Jimmy Butler. And I know that's funny to say because you're talking about Giannis, but I just think that overall the Bucks have a better roster. They have a better team, a better supporting cast.
This or that. Now, Jared and Sumner wants a this or that rank'em version where you have to include this, the one you're choosing, but then rank the rest. Pancakes, waffles, French toast.
Oh, that's so hard, man.
Paul?
I'm going to go...
you guys are taking number one.
Pancakes. I'm going pancakes, waffles, French toast.
Yes,
I think great
pancakes.
Wrong. Yep. Okay? It is French toast,
Jake's
waffles,
writing it down.
And pancakes. That's how it goes. French toast, waffles, pancakes.
Just a flip.
Not even close.
No,
exactly.
Because here's the thing with French toast. All of these things are delicious, first of all. It's like ranking my children, okay? I don't have children. I would imagine that I wouldn't have favorites, but you never know. I mean, sometimes you just connect with people.
You just never know.
But I think pancakes absorb. Pancakes become delicious syrup butter sponges. And waffles are a version of that. They're fluffy, and it's just not as good. French toast is fine.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's great,
fine.
But it's got
French toast. Be too much.
It's amazing.
Sometimes it is too much.
No, it's not.
Yes, I want a chocolate chip pancake. That's the most I want. That's what I'm saying.
That is absolutely ridiculous. You get the cinnamon aspect to the French toast. It is just the perfect combination of fluffiness with the flavor, and then you add the butter with the syrup. I mean, chef kiss.
This or that from the 425. Stacey's food takes or Salk's movie takes?
Oh.
First of all, I think Mike Salk literally has only ever seen Die Hard.
I would take Salk's movie takes over Stacey's food takes all
food
day, everywhere.
They're not that bad. They're not that
bad. I can deal with watching Top Gun and Die Hard, which is basically all of Salk's movie takes. I've never heard any other movie take from Salk outside of Top Gun and Die Hard.
I'll tell you if Salk will like a movie. This is the barometer. Did the main character punch someone, and is he wearing aviators? Yes, he loves that movie. It's his favorite movie. Is he wearing a wife beater? Is he climbing through an HVAC? Yes, he loves that movie. He'll watch every single one. All right. This or that, you are batting in this case. Lead off or clean up?
Oh, man. Batting leadoff is just, it's got a cool feel to it.
No,
but cleanup,
it's 1,000%.
It is way better because you've got the opportunity to hit dingers.
Yep.
Your job is to hit dingers, to drive in RBIs, and to get all the glory for all the work that the leadoff guys have done.
Would
right?
you I mean, guys rather, let's say that you're perfectly capable of doing this. We're all professional athletes at this point in the prime of our careers.
Sure.
Okay? Would you rather hit a grand slam in a big game? Maybe not a game seven, but just a big game.
Okay.
Or throw a game-winning touchdown bomb. I'm talking 50-plus yards.
Home run, without a doubt. Football and baseball were mine. There's no better feeling than connecting and just driving a baseball. It feels unlike any other sport feeling, and you just watch that thing fly in a grand slam of all things.
Yeah.
Little bat flip, I'm all in on that.
Of course the bat flip. Look, I knew Paul would be pro flip. Look,
grand slam is an incredible moment, and the feeling of, like you said, connecting with the bat and just hitting the sweet spot of the bat, it is an awesome feeling. But let me tell you, throwing a touchdown pass, throwing a beautiful touchdown pass, and then being able to basically, look, in baseball, there is decorum, right?
Right.
For the most part. You get a Fernando Tatis, you get some guys that show some energy and have fun with it. There's no doubt. But the amount of fun that you can have and the amount of trash talk that you can give after a touchdown pass, let me tell you.
No, the answer's grand slam.
It does not hold. It does not hold at all. You can talk to somebody walking all the way down and be in their ear. You can chest bump. You can do all this stuff with your teammates. Trust me, it is a rush, an absolute rush.
JD in the 509, this or that, what happens first? JK gets called back up or Stacy gets a real boyfriend. Okay, that's enough. This is enough of the show. First of all, I have a boyfriend. He's real. But unfortunately, this or that's done. We're done playing this or that now.
This was fun today.
All right. You guys
Paul,
have a pregame show.
You were
show.
Made for
Thank
this and
you,
that.
Paul.
Thank you.
You guys have a pregame show coming up in an hour. First pitch coming up in the 4 p.m. hour. Marco Gonzalez gets the start. Wyman and Bob coming your